What's up, everybody? How you doing? Happy Wednesday. I am Nick, joined by Rochelle. Hope you're doing great. We have a great episode for you today. Paul Scheer is our guest. I'm a big fan of Paul. He is a very successful comedian, actor, doing writer. I mean, he does it all. He's got two hit podcasts. I got to meet Paul for the first time when I was announced as The Bachelor. He was one of the guests on After Paradise, and it was like, I was excited about being The Bachelor, and then I was excited about, oh, God, that's Paul Scheer. And we've done, you know, he had me do a little project for him, and he was gracious enough to be a guest today and just have a fun conversation about like what he's doing, what he's up to, how he's settled in with the new times that we're in. And it's been a ton of fun. Yeah. So how you doing, Rochelle?
I'm good. Also, if you guys haven't seen Burning Love, he's in that, and his wife is like the star of it. It's a parody of The Bachelor.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have seen that. It's really good.
Yeah. It's so dumb.
It's this whole spoof on The Bachelor. Really funny.
Yeah.
If you are looking for light, easy, digestible content and you're a Bachelor fan, go look up Burning Love. Absolutely.
Classic.
Thank you for reminding me of that. Well, I'm going to, so we just get to Paul and,
yeah.
You know, get right to the episode.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thanks for listening, guys. As always, don't forget to send your questions at asknick@castme.com for our Ask Nick episodes. Check us out on Mondays if you haven't yet. You will really enjoy it. We get some great callers and people share their stories and relationship questions, and we all learn a little bit about each other and how we can improve our situation. So make sure to check that out. And without further ado, Paul Scheer. Paul, thanks for joining.
I am so excited to be here. We're in quarantine. What else do we have to do?
I know. I really appreciate it. I mean, I guess before I get into finding out what you're doing for quarantine, I do have. I'm dying to ask you this question.
Sure.
You've had this very successful career. You know, a regular, not even a regular, but The League, huge hit show. I'm a huge fan of. You've been on Veep, Black Monday, you got two successful podcasts. You're doing a bunch of shit. But was the highlight of your career being a guest on After Paradise when I was announced as The Bachelor? Is that the highlight? I feel like it probably is.
You know, I have to say that you kind of hit the nail right on the head. I've never, honestly, I will say that there are a couple of moments in my life where the excitement and energy had been around something, and going on that show went from like, oh, this will be fun, we'll talk about something, to a full-on like, okay, this is it. We have the biggest news of all time, and we're breaking it here. And it was like, we can't tell anybody. And I was already in a closed-off space, so like, where would I go? But it was, there was an energy to it, and I love energy like that. I love when... Yeah. You know, everybody's on a very tense level and ready to blow it out. But yeah, I would say that was definitely in the top three. Like my kid, my first kid, my second kid, and then the reveal of that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Did you know? Did you find out when I walked out the door, or did like Alon give you the heads up?
I knew that there were. I can't remember exactly how it went down. I remember that when I was doing my pre-interview, we were talking about who we thought it would be. And because at that point there was like a front runner that it seemed like everyone was like, oh, that's what it's going to be. And you were the surprise, you were the twist. So it was like that. And I was like, oh, that guy's boring. And then when I got there, like, we're doing something big. And it was that idea of there is a secret happening. We can't tell you. We want everything to be real. So yeah, I was definitely, I believe it was when you walked out through that door. I was excited. Look, I'm a fan. I was ready to go.
That's cool. It was kind of a surreal moment for me too. But I remember you being there, and I was such a fan of The League when it was out. I was like, oh my God, I'm The Bachelor. There's Paul Scheer. Oh my God, this is really good.
You're right, because now I'm remembering more. Because now I know you more. So it's hard to parse out those moments. And now that you're saying that, because I remember we were all like in this little scrum, like this celebratory, like New Year's Eve, like, hey, it's a party. Yeah. And I was like, anyway, I was like shaking your hands, like, oh, this is crazy. Like I was a fan of yours. And that was a really intense moment. That show, Bachelor After Paradise, I wish they would do more of that. I like the after show. I almost feel like you could cut like 30 minutes off the regular show and just do more of that talk. But that's a tense show. And it gave me a little bit of an insight on that world that I don't necessarily have that much experience in, like that, you know, building to something and making sure that every segment has an energy to it. And there was definitely, you know, there was definitely an energy there that I'd not experienced on a regular talk show or, you know, a regular, you know, just recap kind of show. Like there's not that energy on Walking Dead. We're like, okay, Michonne's here right now. She just killed you. You got to come on air and you got it. You're mad at Michonne. Like, you know, it's like that kind of a thing.
It's funny because I almost feel like I remember the ratings of the after show not being awesome in general. I feel like almost it was like a few years too early. Because like, you know, the podcast world, for example, has really blown up since then. Like people just wanting to get more content of their favorite content and just digest it. I wonder if like the appetite for something like that is a little bit stronger now.
I also felt like there's this weird thing, and I love Chris Harrison. Chris Harrison is the best. I will not say anything bad about him, but I will say that he treats The Bachelor with such reverence that you needed to kind of make the after show a little bit more like, hey, we're having fun now. Like now, like, you know, like let's break it down. And he was always very funny, but like, I almost feel like it's like Dad's Still Home. Like when he was hosting, you know, so it's like you couldn't like really have a house party. Yeah. It was like,
it's like, are we allowed to? Like Dad's here. We can't drink. I don't know why.
So that was like, because, you know, and Andy Cohen, I think, has that kind of energy where Andy is a sort of like, and I think that's why that show really works, is because it's sort of like, ooh, like he's just ready to like, he's ready to have things fly. And I think Chris, to his credit, and I think that's really why the show works so well, is like, he's like, hey, I don't want to create that much drama here. I'm like, I'm here to make it okay.
Chris is the anchor for sure.
Yeah, he's great.
But yeah, I was thinking about that moment when you were coming on, and it was certainly like to your point, it was such energy. It was a moment I'll always remember, not only because, you know, when I was named The Bachelor, but I got to like, you know, meet a lot of cool people and just have that experience. And it's, those are the things I remember more.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to ask you about this as well, because when you were announced, I feel like that happened, what, like in 24 hours leading up to it? Like it was something really crazy, right? Or did you know?
It was correct. No, it was, I think that was like Tuesday when it was announced, because it was like they would air the bet, like it was a Tuesday. I knew for like a week. So the week before, it was the Sunday before. Because I actually was on After Paradise the week before. I was supposed to be on because they would bring back alumni. And I got a text message from, it was Alon, one of the EPs at the time.
Who is
and
great.
He just said, yeah. And he was like, me and the other, his name's Bennett, the other EP want to meet you tomorrow if you want. And I'm friends with both of them. And I've hung out with them. Just in general, I've had dinner with him. We'll have breakfast, but I've never got together with him at the same time. And I was like, and they're like, we want to have coffee with you in the morning at the office. And I was like, they're not gonna fucking ask me to be the. There's no way they're gonna ask. Like, there's just no. But I was like, what else could it possibly be?
Yeah.
And then so that Monday they were just like, so do you want to be the Bachelor? And I remember being like really truly sick to my stomach. At the time, and I was, and I've said this before, but I was like, I knew I was going to say yes, and I absolutely thought I should say no. And I was like, well, here we go. And then, you know, you have to, you know, there's a couple, the contract stuff went pretty quickly, but yeah, it was like from that Monday, I knew for a week before, and because like once they decided to do it, they really wanted the surprise. Like usually that stuff gets spoiled, and they knew people would be shocked, and they really wanted to have that moment. So that's why they decided to announce it even before Paradise was over.
I mean, it's a crazy franchise, which I'm so kind of curious about where it goes, because honestly, in this like post-COVID world, we could be, you know, with physical contact, all these people in a house, everything like this. This could be the end of The Bachelor for a year and a half or 2 years, you know, ultimately.
Certainly in the format that we're used to, right? Traveling the world, like it's like the Bachelor or Bachelorette up to this point has been a reality TV dating show and a little bit of a reality travel show.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of like, we're in romantic Fiji or whatever.
Right.
See the sights and like
you're on a helicopter. Yeah, you're doing. You're riding horses. You're doing the whole thing. You're eating bats like in the Wuhan.
That's not going to happen. And like there's been talk about like you know. And I would, and it seemed that would be my guess. I have no inside information,
yeah.
But my guess is they're going to do whatever it takes to make Claire's season happen, and they're going to work a deal with some sort of like seasonal like resort, like a ski resort, and that's
right.
Usually you know busy, the dead in the summer. So they'll go to like Utah or Idaho,
they'll
or
just
wherever.
Lock it down, yeah,
yeah, and they'll lock it down. Which and they'll make it work. But I also am curious about. So you won't have the travel, and you'll have the dates. And honestly, I don't think the audience is going to care too much. But like, I am curious, like what you think. Like now we're ingrained about like 6 feet apart, you know, and yeah. We're gonna like to your watching people make out. Like watching people cozy up,
exactly.
Watching
that's
you know
the thing.
Group dates. Like everything we're being taught right now is like anti, you know, group. What do you group date? What? Whoa, buddy! Like
I think that people are gonna have a physical reaction. I feel like I've done that when I'm watching movies right now because you're just not used to close proximity. Now the benefit is, and I'm thinking about you. When I was, when we were talking about doing the show, I was like, oh, you've kind of lived through quarantine. You've been put in a house. You've been cut off from the world, you know, and so you have a little bit of this experience that we're all kind of going through. But like that is the one thing that keeps the show maybe alive is the fact that, all right, well, you can monitor everybody. Everyone lives there, you know, and if you just put the bachelor or the bachelorette on the side, everyone can kind of stay safe. But I don't know. I don't want to see the fantasy suite in this time. I mean, look, who knows? I mean, I hope the fantasy suite is just full of like disinfectant wipes.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the thing. They'll do obviously they'll do what they have to do to keep everyone safe, but like you said, it will be kind of almost ingrained and like, whoa, is this okay? Should we be doing this? Like,
definitely not
like
kissing
coughs.
One girl and kissing the next girl in a minute. No. That's not going to happen.
You know, Claire clears her throat and she's like, and everyone's like, whoa, what? Wait, whoa.
Well, you know, like right now they're like furiously having scientists do tests like, does hot tubs kill COVID? You know, so they're like, if we can get that, if the scientists can prove that there's no COVID in hot tubs, this show can go on. We can still
the entire season will be dates in a hot tub. It's like, you thought we did hot tubs before? Well, get ready that like, you know, everyone's swimming. That would be hysterical. Article. Well, if you you're stuck inside, you're spending a lot of time at home. There's a good chance you're sitting on an old couch that might need some upgrading. And if you are, make sure to check out Article. Rochelle and myself are proud Article customers. I've been really breaking in my Article couch. And by breaking in, I mean it's just me sitting on it. what more can we say?
I have the Sven model, Sven, and I cannot recommend it enough. It is leather. It is very modern. It's cool. I feel like I'm an Instagram model, honestly, when I'm on it.
Article is currently offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. So go to article.com/VIALL and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/VIALL to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Story worth. We love Storyworth on this show because we love stories and we're sentimental as shit, Rochelle and I. I mean, I know I am. I just listen. I found this too. Like, when I've been on a date, I have found myself like once you get to the point of like talking about families and stuff like that, and you ask about their parents and their relationships, and I always find myself asking about like, what did your dad do in the story? And I always feel like I get to know the person I'm across the table with when they tell me stories about their family. And I just think that the history of our own lives is so fascinating and so enriching. And I think it's a lot of things we don't know a lot about that, about our parents or grandparents and things like that. And Storyworth makes it possible by giving them the gift to share their stories, prompting them with questions, and then putting it in a booklet for you to pass down for years to come, your kids, your grandkids. You never know. It's truly a priceless gift you can give someone, especially your mom, for Mother's Day coming up. So give your mom the most meaningful gift this year with Storyworth. Get started right away without the need for shipping by going to storyworth.com/VIALL. You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/VIALL for $10 off. How is quarantine going for you?
You know, it's interesting. I have two children. I have a three-year-old and a five-year-old. My actual five-year-old is turning six tomorrow, which is kind of crazy.
Happy birthday.
But it's a quarantine birthday. And I would say that one of the benefits of quarantine is that I'm surrounded and nonstop going with this 3 and 5 year old. My wife and I are doing everything we can to teach, do our own work, and we're, you know, clean the house. There's not a dull moment. So for me, I do look at, you know, a little bit with like envy when I see people like, oh, I read 3 books in 3 days, or, you know, just binging all of Schitt's Creek. I'm like, I haven't sat down since 10 a.m. You know, yeah. You know, I'm making lunches, I'm making breakfast, and all that stuff is kind of great. I feel like, and not to get too sentimental, but my wife and I always talk about this idea like, oh, I wish we could just freeze them. It's such a great time. And we've essentially done that. We've frozen our children because we are with them 14 hours a day. and it's, you know, it's almost day 50 for us. But, you know, highs and lows. I mean, there are days where I'm just like incredibly depressed and I still have to teach, you know, basic subtraction and addition. And then there's days when I'm like, oh, this is great. We're going on a walk and, you know, bike riding together. So, I don't know. I think it's an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, it's been interesting for me, at least. It's like at first I was almost like, I'm strangely thriving. You know, I had I do live alone. So a lot of the alone part, I was like, I can do this. This is no problem. Like, now I don't have to drive 4 hours a day around LA and sitting in traffic, and I can do what I'm doing and I'm way more efficient. And so I was kind of being all creative and doing these things. And now I've kind of hit this like law where it's just like, you know, like yesterday I had all these dishes to do and I was like, nah, I'll get to it tomorrow. Like, I've definitely hit this period of like, laziness and depression. Like, I'm not depressed, but like, yeah, it's just this mundaneness of it all.
It's not, we don't have to be in like, you know, therapy depression, but there are these moments I think we're all experiencing where it's sort of like the dishes is a perfect encapsulation of it. It's sort of like, laundry, all right. Like, you know, it's like, and because we're not seeing anybody, we're not really doing anything. And I do believe that there's one thing that I found, which is everything that everyone thought that you needed to be in person for, you just don't. That's the best part of all of this. Meetings are shorter, times are shorter. And I feel like I'm talking to my family and friends more. Are you doing that? Are you getting like, are you kind of doing more connecting like on that level?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things too, where you try to like, you even have more time to like self-reflect in terms of like, you know, for example, I have a grandmother who like, she lives in like an assisted living community, right? And they're on lockdown, right? Because, you know, obviously at risk, elderly people. So she's learned to FaceTime for the first time in a while. And all of a sudden, like now I'm like thinking, you know, I'm FaceTiming her. I could always be better at calling my parents, but yeah, like you're just, you find more reasons to try to connect with people. And that's a positive thing. And, but like also there have been times where it's just like, I feel lonely, but I don't know what to say to anyone. So like, I'm just going to like stare at my phone. I don't know. These weird moments.
I mean, and no one has done this, right? So we're the pioneers of this in the sense of modern day version of this. And I think there's things like the internet and Jackbox games and whatever, where you can kind of have this like, oh, we're going to play a game, we're going to get on Zoom and I'm going to talk to my college friends or my high school friends. And so there is a sort of like weird, like we are connecting, we are together, but then we are physically not. And I think that like, no matter how much we have internet and streaming TV shows or whatever, you still just miss a little bit of like that human connection, like getting the coffee, getting like, just, yes. I don't know, you know, like, and it's small, but yeah, and we're learning it and we'll, you know, we'll get through it, but it's just like, it's a real mind fuck, honestly.
The one of the things I miss the most, and it's super inefficient, and this has also saved me money because now I'm making my own coffee, is like waiting in line at the coffee shop.
I know.
And ordering coffee and like holding that cup and just, I love that routine that I had, and I don't have that. You know, you miss those little things.
I've learned how to make a really great iced coffee, in my house. And I feel like that has been, you know, necessity is like the mother of invention. I really like, I've perfected something here and I'm like, this is good. I may never go back. Like, you know, like that, those like little things, like I'm cooking and, you know, made banana bread, never made banana bread. I mean, everyone's making banana bread. I don't know why. Like, I love like these things that happen on the internet where all of a sudden everyone's making bread. Everyone's making banana bread. It's like, we just are following like, oh, who's doing that? Okay, let's go. Let's go do this.
Totally. If you think there's one thing as like, cause like clearly this is going to go on for like, I don't know if things will ever go back to where they were, and maybe they shouldn't to a certain degree. And there will be a long adjustment, but what do you think some things that will be, that will never go back for the better into way, the way we used to do things?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah.
You know, in terms of like, maybe we just got too carried away, or maybe we're, you know, the insincere hug. Maybe we're just not doing that anymore.
I was like, going to say like the awkward hugs, the weird handshakes. What I'm thrilled about is I'll never have one of those handshakes with a guy again who does that squeezing thing where it's like, why are you vice gripping my hand?
Yeah. It's like, congratulations on your handshake.
We're not like in the 1940s making a business deal about like oil. Like, you know, and I also feel like to me, I am a person who I try to read the room and see what's going on. And now knowing that like a hug is off the table, like if you're coming for a hug, I'm definitely there. I don't want to overstep a hug. So now it'd be like, if that's off the table, great. Like it's like one,
everyone's like, I'm a hugger. And you're like, if I say no, then I'm an asshole. So like,
exactly.
You know,
I guess what I'm really looking forward to too is, and this is going to be a little bit later down the line, but, the masks. What kind of masks are we wearing, guys? Like, are they going to get more interesting? Like, I already have a Carol Did It mask, which is from Tiger King. Yeah. So, I have that. And now I have a Clippers mask. So I have like those two. I'm getting to show some. You know, like, will masks be the new sneakers? Maybe. I don't know.
When you said that, I was the first thing that popped in my head was Nike. You know.
Yeah.
In terms of like what. You know, it'll be like an air, like a Nike Air mask, or like the Reebok Pump, where you're just like pumping up the
pump
filter
out
or
the
something.
Toxin. I love it. Like though, if you're like, oh yeah, I got the new LeBron mask. It's great. These Air Jordan masks are amazing. I love it. That'd be great. I already saw a woman in Georgia wearing like a fake like Armani mask, and I was like, this is great. Like I'm in it.
You got to start making merch, Paul.
I know you're a big movie buff. You have two successful podcasts out there, Unspooled and How Did It Get Made, and I love movies, and I always love listening to perspective. And I know you're out there like on your website, you're suggesting content for people to listen to read, digest. Like, what are some of the things
I've been trying to like figure out like what we should be watching and stuff. So I've been doing this thing. I have like a text number you can call or text and like give a suggestion. Like, I kind of feel like right now we are in the mood for things that are like funny and dumb and not necessarily challenging us. And I think that that's okay not to be challenged right now. Like, I think we need comfort food. We need like the equivalent of mac and cheese for streaming. You know, so it's been fun to kind of like find those things and go back and look at different movies. For me, my comfort food right now has been that ESPN doc about Michael Jordan, that 10-part series. It's so good. It's so good. And it transcends, like, even if you don't like sports, because it's sort of like I'm with my wife who does not like, she likes it to a certain extent, but it's so engaging. And I feel like that's like, and it's triumphant. I feel like we need those kind of moments. You know, so my wife really likes it, which is, you know, a real interesting thing. I think it brings everybody together. And then besides that, I'm just kind of like watching a lot of like classic comedies, like, you know, stuff from like, you know, like Step Brothers, or like, I love this movie Midnight Run with like Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin that I feel like many people haven't really seen, or like Bowfinger with Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin, which is great. Just like fun, weird, classic comedies.
Yeah, no, that's great. The number, if you're interested, is 917-877-0657.
Yes, it's not a pay thing. It's just a me thing. I'm just like, I figured I got involved in this place, and it's just like, oh, yeah, I just every day at like 2 o'clock Pacific time, I will send out something that's music or it's a long read. The long reads are a little bit less than normal just because I feel like people are like, they don't need that all the time.
but you're absolutely right, though, because what I'm a creature of habit in general. And then what I've been noticing, like, you know, if there's like a new show that really sparks my interest, I'll watch it. But I find myself, I'm not trying new stuff. I'm going back and rewatching stuff I've seen because I know what to expect from it. And I know the feeling it's going to elicit. So it is sometimes nice to like get recommendations from people you think like, hey, I know you don't want to try something new, but just give this a try, and I promise, like, it will be rewarding.
Like, for me, last night I watched this movie, The Assistant. It just came out, and it's like basically like, what if you were the assistant for Harvey Weinstein? And I was like, it's a great movie. I would never recommend it to anybody because I'm like, you don't need this kind of stress right now in your life. Like, it's just like, it's sort of like, it's sort of like really well done, fantastically directed and active. I was like, it's not like, oh, pop this in and sit down. I don't want to be challenged. And I think that that's fine not to be challenged because honestly, you're just sort of like, why? Like, I've heard all these people getting dogs now, like pandemic puppies. And I'm like, that's hard too. Like, why are you putting another thing on top of you? Maybe it's great. I don't know. I love dogs.
It's great if you can do it and everyone, you know, but you're right. I mean, it can be challenging and it is okay to say, I'm not ready for that sometimes.
Yeah.
It's funny thing about dogs too. It's just like, I don't have a dog. I mean, I have some mild allergies, but part of the reason too, it's just been like, I don't know if I could be a good parent to a dog right now. I don't know if I have the time, and I don't like, would it be great for my Instagram? Sure, but I don't know if I could like give it the love that it needs right now. And I'm also
worried about like when we do get back into the normal world, like because right now it's a great moment. It's like, oh, I'm here with the dog, I can do all this stuff. It's like, yeah, but if, when life does come back around, then you have to make adjustments. I mean, again, it's all great. I'm just not into too many challenges. My life right now is like cleaning the toilets and getting the floors done and doing all the laundry and all that sort of stuff. Like that's about my challenge bar.
I couldn't imagine. I was joking last week with our guest in terms of like, what's the perfect quarantine scenario?
Yeah,
and it was like having just met someone but not living together, so you have the excitement and to look forward to talk to someone. Being single with options up there. Married with kids, it's got to be in the bottom of the totem pole, or do you find that it's? Am I wrong? How is that for you?
I will say that there's highs and lows to it. Like I think that like I'm thrilled with the people that I'm with, right? Like I've been with like my wife for, gosh, like 15 years, like and so there is like just a comfort in the lows and the lows. Like we can go there like with each other. And that's like really lovely to have. And then we can find fun in these moments. And like I said, the kids, it's sort of like you take the stress of the kids and then you take like the fact that you're getting like just tons of like snuggles and you're like on the couch watching like Home Alone at like 2 p.m. You're like, oh, this is kind of great too. Like there's moments of course where I'm like, oh, I just want to sit here and be by myself. But I would say 90% of the moments, it's like I'm wrestling with my kids and having fun and just there is a goofiness. So yeah, I look at you and I go, oh, that's the life right there. That's the life.
No, it can be, but to your point, there's always these times I'm like talking to myself. But it'd be nice to be like, hey man, how's it going? You know, like I'm really just like really, really getting to know myself and my weird idiosyncrasies and my personalities. Absolutely. BetterHelp, love BetterHelp and what they're doing. If you aren't familiar with BetterHelp, they are a very easy and accessible online service for helping your mental health. If you ever thought about getting in touch with a therapist or a counselor to deal with any stresses you might have, just basic anxiety, maybe some, you know, things people are struggling, obviously, with the economy and work, you know, maybe your job isn't going the way you hoped, whatever it is. It's always okay to admit that you want to talk to someone and that someone might be a professional. Maybe you've exhausted, you know, friends and family and things like that. And I can't say enough about what BetterHelp is doing. You just go to BetterHelp. You fill out a survey. They assess your needs. They align you with a therapist that's perfect for your needs. If you disagree with their assessment, you can always change therapists. They make it so seamless and easy. You can do this out of the comfort of your home, on your tablet, on your computer, on your phone. I can't say enough about it, and I think they're doing amazing things. And I want all of you to start living your happier life today. So as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/VIALL. Join over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/VIALL.
Have you taken up any COVID hobbies? Like for me, I have started doing like Legos, like big giant Legos. And I find it to be so relaxing and meditative because it's sort of like there's so few things in life that you can kind of have a beginning, middle, and end with. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing this. I feel accomplished. And like it relaxes me.
I loved Legos as a kid. I would
play
for hours. I really haven't. And I feel like bad now that you're asking me. Part of the reason, I like to paint. I would do Bob Ross paintings.
Oh, amazing.
I was doing that for a while, but I'm out of supplies. So and I could order on Amazon, but like I haven't been that motivated to do it. I've hit a bit of a creative lull, but I have been making these videos on my Instagram, which is basically four different versions of me, and that's been fun to make and kind of embracing the quarantine and having fun. So I was having a lot of fun being very creative in terms of pushing out content and embracing the new norm, and that was my hobby. But nothing that's been just for me. I haven't done that yet. But
well, it's hard.
I feel like
it's hard. It's hard to press that button on yourself and be like, all right, I got to now create outwardly. You know, it's a tricky thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, walking, though, I feel I'm the 80-year-old version of myself already. Like I like to work out. I go outside when I work out, just to get some fresh air. But now I have some free time to kill. So even though after I'm done working out, I'll be well, I'm going to go for another walk. And I quite enjoy it, just to put some headphones on. I live by the beach, so that, you know, obviously that's kind of scenic and nice. And I'm just go on these long walks that I imagine I'm going to do as a senior citizen.
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea of just and by the way, the beach seems to be the best place to be near. And we have a very nice walking area. We live on the east side of LA, and it's residential but walkable, and there are cool little stores when the stores are open. So yeah, I like getting out, and we've been bike riding a lot, but we do a daily walk every day. We just go out for 45 minutes, and it's nice.
Yeah, I do. Yes, same. And I really have been enjoying that. And I quite honestly, I hope to have the time to keep doing that as things get back to normal, because it has been kind of it's therapeutic in a sense, because sometimes, you know, we don't talk too much about religion, but I grew up very Catholic, and I don't go to church as much anymore, but I will remember when I'd go to church, it was, if nothing else, it was that moment where I would just to kind of center myself and be alone. And I try to, and I've told myself before, well, I'll do that when I'm driving now, or I'm just thinking, but you know, you have so many distractions and things like that, or traffic. So this walk has been this almost meditating thing for me. And that's been kind of a good stress reliever for myself.
No, I think it's these things that we kind of get in touch with, because there is nobody that is calling. There's no place for us to go. There's really nothing for us to do. I mean, yes, there are obligations, but I think that people are doing their work a little bit quicker, you know, besides the relentless amount of Zoom calls. But I feel like, by the way, that's the one thing I want to say. Not everything has to be a Zoom call. I feel like everybody now wants to be on Zoom. It's like, we could talk on the phone too, right? I mean,
yeah.
But no, I feel like I'm finding these little things that I don't want to lose. And that's what I think has been a nice takeaway. I've had dinner at home every night, and that I just haven't done that. God, I haven't done that in decades, I feel like, you know, and that's been finding these walks and time with kids and different, you know, for me, just finding different things to do with them. And again, we're, you know, having to make do with, like you said, like, you know, you're running out of supplies. We're trying to plan a birthday party for a six-year-old, and we're like, okay, we're going to do this parade, and we have to get balloons, and we're, my wife is, like, working with fondant, like, to make a cake, and it's aww, like, oh, this is, like, stuff that we wouldn't have normally have done, you know, or gone out all like this. So, like, I like that.
Yeah. Do your kids know what's going on? Because they're pretty young.
Yeah, they, yeah, they're 5 and 3, or going to be 6 and 3, and they know about the virus. So they talk about the virus. You know, we know that they'll go back when the virus is over, and they know, like, that they shouldn't, that they need to keep distance and stuff. But I don't think they understand exactly what that is. I can say that they seem thrilled that they are home. They love being home. They love, like, being lazy in the morning. But then they miss their friends, too. So, like, all of a sudden, you know, I'll go into the room with my three-year-old, and I'm like, oh, Dad, come here. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, Peter's over here. I'm like, oh, Peter? You're from your preschool class? He's like, yeah, Peter's right there. Like, so, like, I see my three-year-old, like, having, like, these wants and desires and not knowing how to articulate. Aww, like, I miss my
friends.
That's
so cute.
You know, when we went on location shooting, my wife is an actress as well, and she was in this movie Long Shot, and we were up in Montreal, and it was a terrible time in Montreal because it was so cold. Every time we were going around there, people were like, why are you here now? Like, it's terrible here. No one comes here in the winter. And
she's so good in that, like, movie, remember, by the way.
Oh, she's so good. Yeah. And she and so my little 4-year-old at the time, I just remember one day I walked into the living room of the place we were staying at, and he's laid sprawled on the floor with his arms outstretched, and he's like, I miss my friends. And I was like, and I just feel like those are the moments that, you know, they don't know what they're experiencing. They can't get on a Zoom. They're not going to have all these connections. So they kind of lose that part of it, but they have all those feelings. And that's kind of interesting and tough to deal with.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's also, like, kind of very sweet to hear you talk about. And yeah. And almost like watching your kids, like, have those emotions. Like,
it's, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm trying to think of all the positive things that can maybe come for this. And, like, I think we slow down a little bit, maybe kind of appreciate those moments. I mean, as a worrier myself, like, I can worry about anything. And I think I've strangely worried less during this time because it's, like, helped me fixate on the things. And, like, yeah, it's a reminder of the thing, like, I've focused so much recently about being thankful, not to sound cheesy, but, like, I've been, knock on wood, like, lucky considering a lot of the things that people are going through, like anyone in the service industry and things like that, you know. And so I've spent more time focusing on what I do have and less time on what I don't have. And I think that's been really good for my mental
health.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I feel like there's just this idea, too, that we're just in this moment where literally it's the embodiment of it's out of our control, right? There's nothing that we can do besides, you know, if you're an essential worker, obviously you're working. If you are, you know, giving to charity, that's amazing too. But, like, at the end of the day, like, we individually can't change this, like, you know, unless we're creating a vaccine. But, you know, it's like, and that's, there's something relaxing about that. It's like, well, I have to wait until someone tells me I can go do this, and that's it. And there's a freedom to that. Like, you know, everyone's in the same boat, and that's so rare to be like, oh, we all are kind of just grinding our wheels, except for Georgia. Georgia seems to be back on track.
A lot of people are just going. Yeah.
I mean, BuzzFeed did an amazing photo essay. And by the way, I know that a lot of people in, like, Atlanta and everybody else I've talked to are like, we don't agree with this at all. But it is funny to see, like, life is normal. And you're talking about this idea of, like, watching movies and seeing people close together. And it's like, oh, I'm watching a guy get a haircut in a Georgia barbershop. And I'm like, oh, this is real scandalous. Like, I feel like I'm looking at, like, a snuff film or something.
Right? It's like, whoa, what is going on? That is funny. Yeah, I mean, it's the human, like, the human element of it. Like, people are getting antsy, you know? And
yeah,
I think people, they're kind of weighing the risk reward of all the things that we're dealing with. It's been interesting. I've always been a big fan of your career and just, like, the stuff you've been doing, and, you know, from the league, and you have Black Monday out, which I'm a big fan of on Showtime.
Oh, thanks.
What are some of the characters that you've identified with the most, or what are some of the things that you've had the most fun making? I've always been kind of curious as when I get to talk to actors and performers.
You know, for me, I'm always a person who loves I mean, I kind of made this distinction early on in my career where I'm like, I just want to work with people that I really respect and admire because, you know, this is a hard job. And if you are lucky enough to be in it, like I want to surround myself and have good experiences there because the money sometimes is not very good. The hours are not very good. So let's just like have a fun time. And I've been really lucky to work with like some great, great people. I would say in addition to like working with people like Dave Mandel, who ran Veep and was on Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. And that was an amazing experience. But then like creating my own stuff has been great. Like, cause you get to make your own rules and, you know, so that those are the things I really look forward to. But as far as like characters and moments, you know, I was looking back, I did a show called Human Giant back in the beginning of my career with Aziz Ansari and Rob Hubels, a sketch show for MTV. And we really got to do whatever we wanted to do. And there was one sketch, we're kind of going through it right now because we're trying to release a few of them online because they're not up anywhere. And there's this one character I really loved where it was a guy who was on a sci-fi TV show. And he was like a Klingon, like a full alien made up person, head to toe. The scene starts off with him longingly looking at all the other actors as they're rapping out of the show. They're just like walking off by, we're going to see you at the bar. And he's like hours of like people like taking off makeup and he's getting up at 4 a.m. and getting all this makeup on. And then he decides that he's going to get all the makeup surgically put onto his face. So the sketch became this big thing where I go get intensive plastic surgery. I get my skin dyed. I get like these crazy brows. And the minute I do it, the show gets canceled. And then the sketch goes on and it's like, how do I live this life with a mutant face? And I'm like trying to get other acting roles as like Abraham Lincoln and stuff like that. And that was like one of my favorite like dumb sketches that we did on Human Giant. I just love like that we could tell this like sad story of this dumb actor who, you know, changed his face because he thought his show was never going to get canceled.
Yeah. I'm curious because like you mentioned, like obviously how hard it is and the grind of it all. And, you know, I've been in LA for a few years and, you know, I'm working hard and doing those things. You've been doing it far more and more successful at it. But like we all know like time flies, right? And especially for the people listening, whatever their goals are in life. When was that moment where you like, you had enough of success that you stopped and go, wait, how did this work out for me? You know, did you ever have that moment?
No, it's funny. You know, I do the show with Don Cheadle, the Black Monday, and we were talking about this the other day, and he was saying like, you know, like he said, like it was me, Regina and him were just sitting around and he was like, you know, we grind. That's our job. Like we grind. And he said that and I was like, oh yeah, like I don't ever feel like not that enough is enough like that. Like, I'm not like, oh, I need more. It's sort of like, I feel like I'm like a contractor. It's like, okay, I'm contracted to build this building. When that's done, I got to go find my next job. It doesn't always guarantee that there's a next job after it, but you always have to kind of be looking to, you know, stay afloat. And I feel like when he was saying that, I was like, oh, I think that's the career that I'm just going to be in. It's always like trying to find the next thing. Yeah. And that doesn't mean a bad thing, but I think the moments that you're describing, what I felt is there are moments where I look back at my career and I go, oh my God, if that thing didn't happen, if that moment, if I didn't like walk in that door versus that door, my life would have been completely different. And that gives me retroactive anxiety. Like I'm like, and I like, I'm here, but I'm like, but what if I didn't do that? Like, how did I not know that? And it wasn't like I made some grand scheme decision. It wasn't like, oh, I was so smart. It was like, oh, I just happened to decide this over that, and that paid off. And you know, especially in the early days, you know, when I was working at UCB and which is Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, and like doing like 5 shows a week, I just was like making choices, and those choices connected me to people and places, my wife, jobs, relationships. I remember I got a TV show pilot, a big TV show pilot. I got this thing; it was going to be a big deal. And Human Giant came along, and Human Giant was a small MTV sketch show. It wasn't a lot of money, but it was a chance to do my own thing. And it was like, do I do a big network show or this like small little thing? And the money was so much better. And people were like, you got to do the network show, do the network show. And I went against that and I did my own thing. And that was the best choice I could have ever made in my life, you know? And it's, there's another world where I could have done that show and then I would have missed out on that opportunity. And I would say that not always am I making the right choice. sometimes like, oh, I should have done that instead, or that was a dumb move. You know,
It's just funny. When you said like, gives me terrible anxiety, I thought you were going to say something different, but it is true. And I like, that is so true for me. I think of like, especially the past 5-6 years of my life, like it was all random. Like, deciding to make a career change. I will say like, sometimes like having blind faith is like a blessing, and sometimes it doesn't work out. I'm thankful for it. But like me even moving to LA, like if I knew what I knew now of all the steps that go in and all the things, there's no way I would have done it. You know what I'm saying? I would have been like, nah, fuck that. That's way. I don't think I can manage it. And
no, it's like, a grind. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like there are a million little things that I totally agree. Like things could have gone far different for me if I would have just said yes to something else or no to something else. There's a lot of luck involved. Obviously, like, you know, people always say like, you know, when luck meets preparation type of thing, or whatever the saying goes, you know, that's luck. But it is kind of crazy to think about, you know, in terms of like sometimes ignorance is bliss when you're like, when you have to grind, you just kind of go and do it and you don't think about like what it takes.
The things that I would say, and you know, not that I'm saying anything that no one else has said before me, but I will say that I think it is always smart to bet on yourself. And whenever you get involved in, or you see an opportunity in front of you, whether that is a job opportunity in the real world or whether that is an acting opportunity or whatever it is, you have to look at it and say, are these the people that I want to be involved with for a long term? It's like dating, right? And it's like, and there are, if you have those hesitations in the beginning, like they're only going to get worse. It's the same thing. It's literally the same thing as dating. And sometimes that has been my biggest like decision factor. It's like, I don't know if I see myself for 7 years with this thing or this character or this, you know, these people. And that's how I kind of look at everything now, is like my long-term decision. And, you know, and then obviously there's shorter-term things that you do too, but you got to just assume that you're in it for the long haul because that, I think those interpersonal relationships, I know that I've done shows for 7+ years, 4 years, 3 years, different levels, and you are in it with those people. And it's like, you're married. That's it. You can't get out. You may want to, but you can't. And that's hard, you know, especially if you hate it. And I've been in a situation that I hated. And you know, and I don't think it showed up in the work at all, but it was like, it was rough, you know, and you live and learn.
Yeah. Speaking of talking about things of how things are going to adjust, I know we talked about The Bachelor Show, but how do you think just Hollywood in general, from movies to TV shows, like content in general, how do you think that's going to adjust? Are we going to even have like movies come out the way we had to, and people going on location and where they can go and where they can shoot, you know, because, you know, when you're shooting a TV show or a movie, they're talking about hundreds of people being around each other and things like that.
It's going to be a long time before we blow up a car again. Cause like you need like 200 people to blow up a car. You know, you gotta get the stunt people, you gotta get this pyrotechnics people. You know, I think for me, the one thing that I just hope is that there's not a lot of like COVID content. I don't want to see everybody's indie drama about being in their house. I don't want to see any of that. I want to enjoy like the new stuff. I hope that we are able to still make something that feels, you know, fresh and fun. And whether that is a little bit more DIY, like I'm doing a show for Marvel right now, and in my office, I have a camera set up and lighting set up, and it's a full deal thing because we can shoot there. And it was like a creative way that we were able to kind of fix, you know, do something really quickly. It was kind of fun, you know, like just kind of getting on, you know, if you can, like I'm literally controlling the camera, the lighting and the focus and everything. It's intense, but we're trying. So I feel like you're gonna get a lot of DIY stuff. But then on top of it, I think we should look at The Mandalorian as our future, because The Mandalorian is this amazing technology they created for that show where they have green screens, but instead of green screens, they actually project real images that move with you. So everything's on a stage. That show is entirely on a stage. I think we're going to be shooting shows like that. You're going to be on a stage. There's going to be a person controlling everything, the lighting, everything, and you're going to have a small skeleton crew because Mandalorian was small. I think it's going to be I think we're going to live in that kind of a world. That's my gut. And then, you know, we'll see.
That's interesting.
I think rom-coms are going to come back in a big way because they were kind of.
Oh, I think comedies are going to come back, but I don't think they're going to come back in movie theaters. I feel like drive-ins may come back in a big way. Yeah. I could see drive-ins, you know. You know, you're going to have a lot of open real estate. But you know what I think about, too? It's like all those like WeWorks and stuff like that and all these like shared working spaces. You know, wonder what's going to happen there. I mean, that's not movies. But there's going to be a lot of real estate around. So maybe there's a chance that we can just all start setting up our own studios and all these abandoned
drive-in movie theaters, drive-in, like, you know, like the, I want to bring the roller skate girl out who's going to serve me burgers and fries and milkshakes. Like I'm all for that, you know. Let's get back to our roots.
Let's do like those things. I mean, bowling, does that work too? Like, let's find these fun things that we've abandoned as a culture, like bowling. I think you're about 6 feet away, or you can get, you know, like, what are the things we're going to bring back? Roller skating rinks. I mean, I for Black Monday this season, I had to learn how to roller skate and rollerblade, and I spent a lot of time at roller skating rinks. I was like, oh, it's still kind of thriving on the down low. I love it.
Oh, Paul, I'm an excellent roller skater. I actually have skates. I have skates in my car. I've been to World on Wheels tons of times. And if you go to World on Wheels, they're legit there. Like they.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
They know how to skate. I miss roller skating. I haven't gone in a while, but like I did it as a kid. In fact, and then I didn't do it for like 25 years. And then it was like a date I had on The Bachelor, and they gave me the skates. And then when I came to LA, I was bored one night. I was like, let's do something different. And I went, I picked it up again. And I started like just roller skating. I had a couple friends. I've even gone by myself, just like bring the skates and just like spin, you know. It's been fun.
It's so fun. It's like I had such a great time and had an amazing teacher, and she's great. Like, and it was just fun to be on the street and do all this sort of, I want roller skates to come back, not blades, skates. Skates are fun.
Four wheels. Not inline or whatever, but
yeah, but yeah, yeah, the platform or whatever. Yeah,
I know you have to go soon, but before you do, I want to play. We always play this little game with our guests. It's called Do You Know Me? Real simple. These random ass questions I'll ask you. Don't give your answer right away. Rochelle and I were guests. Answer to it, right? And then we'll figure out who knows Paul Scheer.
Oh, wow, that's gonna be exciting.
More. All right. And, you know, and if you have an anecdotal story you want to share, feel free. No pressure at all. Do You Know Me with Paul Scheer. Has Paul posted on social media in the past day? Or in the past? Well, should we do the past day? No, in the past hour.
This morning. Yeah, before the...
This morning. Have you posted on social media in the past hour?
Well, let's just make sure that people understand that it is right now 9 a.m, right? It's early. We started recording. Yeah. I guess we started recording at 9. So just
I'm going to say absolutely not. He's got work. He's got he's got kids. Like he's, you know, Paul has better things to do to influencing. And when he does post, it's like, you know, it's like. You know, it's like it's a necessary evil to put out the things he's doing. I mean, I do follow him on Instagram. He's a great follow. You should check it out. But it's
thank you so much.
He's got other more pertinent things to do.
No, I think he snuck a tweet in this morning. You know, he thought of something funny. Had to get it in.
All right, this is a good question. I did not post on Instagram this morning. No, I got up and I came right here. But I did look at Twitter and I did look at Instagram, and I liked a couple things. I definitely liked a couple things, but I didn't, you know, I kind of window shopped this morning. I didn't get in the mix. I didn't go in the store, you know.
What happened to your finger, Paul? I noticed you have a little.
Yes, I have a Band-Aid on.
Spider-Man.
This is Spider-Man. Yes. That was just because I couldn't find anything else. I was cleaning my stove. And I was trying to get in and get some grime out from there, and I just sliced open my finger.
Oh,
and then I was making Moscow Mules last night, and forgot that I had this. And when I was squeezing the lime, it was almost like a direct deposit of lime into my cut, which was one of the most painful things that ever happened to me.
I also scrubbed my entire oven. I was like, I'm just cleaning everything.
Yeah, gotta get in there. I'm vacuuming. I have a vacuum. I got sorry.
I was cleaning my stove on the regular, but it's one of the, like we talked about earlier, it's pretty disgusting right now. And I'm just like, fuck it. I'll do it tomorrow. Second question. Has Paul, did his last text contain an emoji? Now, I almost want to audit this because I just feel like has Paul ever used an emoji?
100%. No, 100%. He uses a ton of emojis, I think.
You do?
His last
text didn't.
This is actually a really good question, and I appreciate, Nick, that you respect me enough to think I don't use an emoji. I do use emojis. I use emojis for two reasons. One, I use the hand slap on head emoji a lot. I feel like that is like, it's sort of like a shorthand. I can't respond, but you see where I'm at.
Yeah.
And the other emoji that I use is sometimes I feel like my tone is off. Like if you were to say something to me, I would be like, oh, yeah, that's great. Like, and if I write just like, great, like it seems like I'm being terse. So I sometimes, so sometimes I add a little happy face to be like, we're on the same page. Yeah. My emoji work is that. And then, you know, of course, like I got a lady. I got to send her some emojis. Send her some hearts. I do a lot of clicking of hearts on text, and a lot of that's where I'm really living in that. Like someone sends me something and I'm like, thumbs up, exclamation points, heart. Like, yeah. I don't have time to get into the nitty gritty of it, but I can be like, got it, read it.
I'm the same, and I appreciate that. And honestly, I'm fine with people doing it to me because it's a nice little acknowledgement. I get it. I had this whole debate with a girl I was talking to, you know, briefly, and you know, she's funny, but we had this debate on like what was appropriate to thumbs up or heart.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm gonna be honest. She was like, if you thumbs up, I'm pretty sure I feel like you're mad at me. So like, this is an appropriate heart.
Oh.
It was like this whole debate of like, don't be dismissive, and it was.
Well, you know what I did too. Like I sometimes your finger will slip, and someone sent me some like pretty shocking information, you know, and I hit like a heart it, like it was like so terrible, and I was like, love it, and I was like, oh wait, no, I have to put exclamation points instead. But like, if you send the wrong reaction to it, really? Yeah, no, but I appreciate that. I appreciate that you respect me enough that I don't do those emojis.
I do, Paul. Is Paul more of a vodka or a tequila drinker?
Ooh, these are good questions.
I don't know the answer to this question.
Moscow Mule last night.
I feel like Paul's more of a whiskey drinker, but I'm gonna say tequila, because tequila is considered more of a sipping spirit than a vodka. And so if I had to pick between the two, I'm gonna say tequila.
Yeah.
Okay, are you saying tequila? Both tequilas, yeah. Both locked in as tequilas.
Yeah. I said it first.
You are both right.
Yes!
I like a tequila. Like, and you're right. Like, I like a sipping tequila. It's it's. I got this one from Mexico. It's in a beautiful white bottle. It's like Casa Azul, and it's been my go to. And I mean, I'm gonna drink other things too. And you were right, Nick. I will definitely drink like a bourbon or a scotch or a whiskey. Like I like those too. But it. Like, I feel like tequila feels light. I will tell you right now, though, my saddest thing, or maybe it's not sad. I've been drinking canned wine, canned carbonated wine. When I went to the supermarket before this pandemic started, I was trying to get stuff in the supermarket. It was empty. And the only thing they had was like a pallet of like 24 cans of like wine. I was like, I'm buying this. And then I've drank it, and I'm like, I like it. I like this. It's like called like house wine, and I'm like, I'm all in on the bubbly brute.
Great,
but it's like I'm like surprised myself on that in a major way.
That's awesome.
That's great. There's this wine I buy at Whole Foods. It's like $1.99, and honestly, it's totally fine. It's like
I'll tell you the one secret I did at my wedding, which is. We were getting married. We didn't have that much money. And Trader Joe's out here, supermarket out here, that's you know, fairly cheap. They have this like thing called like $2 Chuck, and it's good wine. It's $2 a bottle of wine. And my wife and I, we steamed off all the labels and put on new labels and put that all throughout our wedding. And everyone was like, "This wine is amazing." And I was like, "Yep, it is. It really is."
Wow, the con of the century.
Yeah, it was a good. It was a good. You got to cut corners in every way.
I once brought that to a party, and the host goes, "It would have been better if you had brought nothing."
Oh,
I think rude, about it every rude. Day. Yeah.
Last question, has Paul ever totaled a car? Like totaled? Like you can no longer drive it? I'm gonna say no.
100% yes.
Maybe an offender. No.
Yes, we've all totaled.
We've all totaled the car.
Yes, we've all totaled the car.
Thank you, Paul.
Have you never totaled a car, Nick? You've never totaled?
I have not totaled. I haven't ever been.
I mean, I wasn't pulled out.
Wow.
I wasn't like pulled out with the jaws of death, but like totaled is a very interesting term because it's sort of like. It's
the car was not drivable afterwards.
Yeah, the insurance company is like, it's better for us to let you get a new car than continue on.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I have never done that.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I slid on ice in high school, and my car went down into a ditch. And I was like, oh my God, I got out. But I was like a foot away from a tree. And thank God I avoided disaster. And then as I was looking at the car, another car hit the same patch of ice, came down the valley the same way, hit my car and drove my car into the tree. I'm like, oh no, my car. And I'm freaking out. And then that person gets out of their car. And then another car hits the same patch of ice, comes down, hits, and then boom, boom, boom. So it's three cars that hit the car and then drive my car through the tree, knocking over the tree. And then a fucking school bus hits that patch of ice, comes down. And it was a four car accident that totally destroyed my entire.
Oh my gosh! I'm glad you're okay.
That is amazing, Paul. I thank you so much for coming on. It's been a ton of fun. I'm a big fan of yours. Make sure to check out Paul. Yeah, Paul's on Unspooled on podcast. How did this get made? If you're a movie buff, like check it out. If you like people talking about movies and how they're made, it's awesome. Check him out on Showtime for Black Monday. You can stream all the stuff. He's absolutely fantastic. Paul, I really appreciate you joining. And everyone, thank you for listening as always.
Thank you so much. And Nick, you've said so many nice things about me, but I think you're great. And you know, you did a thing for me a little while ago for this thing called Unsend. And you were so funny and so great. And it's always great to talk to you. So thank you for having me.
I appreciate it, Paul. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. See y'all later. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks. Bye.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. I really enjoyed this episode with Paul, and I hope you did as well. We will see you on Monday. Have a great day.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.